The Maria Sanchez Show, a conversation, not a confrontation. On MariaSanchezShow.com.
Hi, this is Maria Sanchez, and welcome to the Maria Sanchez Show. Thank you so much for joining us. Hoping you're helping to make this world a better place. We focus on as much good news as possible, and today's discussion is no exception. We have the CEO and founder of Angel Investors Network, Greg Ryder, visiting with us. And Greg, thank you for taking the time, and congratulations on your success, and looking forward to hearing what you have to say.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate it, and I appreciate the platform and everything you do to help entrepreneurs and people out there. It's awesome.
Thank you. We do try to promote as much good news as possible in people who've overcome adversity or folks that have an idea and, hey, actually make it happen. And you fall into all of those categories. So why don't you share with our listeners your journey, please?
Well, I have a really, really unique story, which is kind of cool. And I'll try to give you the short version of the long story. But if anyone out there has read the book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I always tell people, does anyone know Robert Kiyosaki? Because I need him to start sending me royalties because that book was written about me. So I was born into a really, really, really wealthy Denver family. And my parents got divorced when I was three. And I went and lived with my mom. And my mom then went through three different husbands. You know, so we had lots of different half-brothers and stepsisters and stepbrothers and that kind of stuff. And then I visited the rich dad. And the best way to describe that is when we went out to dinner with mom and stepdad and half brothers. The bill was maybe $80 when we splurged because we weren't really poor, but there was no money. But then when I went out to dinner with dad, the tip was $200. And it wasn't like we were having $2,000 or $1,000 dinners, but he just had money and he tipped big. And so you kind of grow up like that and being exposed to that. And in my mindset, it was like, here was my dad was this multimillionaire and my mom was an entrepreneur and my dad didn't seem to have any other skill sets or anything special than my mom. So I kind of grew up with this idea, well, I can do that. I can do what my dad does. So I think I had a little bit of advantage there because I saw what my dad was doing and the wealth that he had accumulated and created. And I always thought, well, I could do it. And then to make a long story short, my dad got me into investing when I was 19. I ended up getting my securities license when I was around 21. I ended up buying the firm I worked for within my first year in the business and became the youngest owner of an investment banking firm in the history of the country. And I tell people, well, that was my first big mistake in life. And we went on to raise, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars for entrepreneurs, early stage companies. And what I talk about is, you know, we helped create capitalism, capital formation. And, you know, we raised money for the original seed capital for a company like Home Shopping Network, which everybody's familiar with Home Shopping Network. And you think about us giving them that investment capital to start, look at all the jobs that they've created. Look what they've done over the last few decades. It's just amazing. So it was a fun life. It is a fun life. I love it. I love entrepreneurs. I love innovation. I just love that kind of stuff.
So what you started out to do is what you continue to do.
Well, in a little bit different fashion. See, now I'm more of a coach and a consultant, and we have a network of investors. So what I found over the years is that entrepreneurs, and if you ever watched the show Shark Tank TV show, you know what I'm talking about. You have all these people that have all these great ideas, these great businesses, but they need capital to expand. And in a lot of times, they think they need money, but in fact, what they really need is marketing, or they need just one relationship, right? So we have this program called Put a Shark in Your Tank. And the idea is you don't necessarily need money. You just need somebody on your team that can open up a door that can change your life, right? So a lot of times that's really what they need, and they might need a CFO or a CTO. So Angel Investors Network is an educational-based company first where we teach entrepreneurs how to raise capital, marketing, expertise, and things that make them a money magnet to investors. Because just like you see on Shark Tank TV show, some people present their deal and it's a total money repellent, and other deals are totally money magnets. And we teach entrepreneurs how to get to that point. So when in fact you do get in front of a person that can write a check, you know what to say and how to say it, and you got your act together. And on the flip side, for the people that watch Shark Tank or you know, and they go, man, I want to be one of those investors. I've got some money. I'd like to invest in companies like that. We're like, hey, if you want to invest alongside myself and Kevin Harrington and other people, join our network and we'll teach you how to invest. And then when we find a deal that we like, that we've done our due diligence on, that we're going to invest in, we allow you to invest right alongside of us from time to time. And it's just, it's pretty cool situation. And then the last piece of the puzzle is we're accumulating a database of C-level executives that are successful, that are willing to raise their hand and say, I'll help an entrepreneur and I'll take stock in exchange for my time. Or maybe they'll take a little bit of revenue share. So now you lower your cash needs by getting a shark in your tank that says, I'll take a little bit of equity and I'll be your marketing person, or I'll be your copywriter, or I'll be your advertising agency, or I'll be your web hosting person, or whatever that is, right? And that lowers the cash needs of all the entrepreneurs. And at the end of the day, we're helping capitalism and capital formation, which is what made America the great country that it is.
Now, folks may think that the life of an entrepreneur is fabulous because of the independence and you don't have to answer to the man and that you're in charge and you make the decisions and you work as hard as you want to make as much as you want, which is true. But there's also a lot of risk involved and insecurity, and there's leveraging, and people have lost because they have invested in themselves or in ideas. Do you see a pattern of one, a personality type that is resilient enough to make it through the process successfully? And two, what is that?
Well, it's that never give up attitude, and it's that never quit learning mindset. Right? So knowledge is power. Knowledge deals with fear. And the more you learn, the more you earn, all that kind of stuff. So when we look at investors that we like to invest in, the ones that have the staying power, the ones that understand what they're doing, they dive deep into their particular, you know, marketplace, niche, business, whatever you want to call it, and they can really articulate well where they're going, what they want to do, and how they're going to do it. And then obviously you get knocked down, you get back up, and you just keep going. And there's something about that burning, burning desire. You know, it's like I think Les Brown says, you just got to have that burning desire. And we always look for those guys that they will just do anything to accomplish, you know, what they're set out to accomplish. You know, they'll go through mountains, they'll climb through walls, they'll get up when they're knocked down. And that's what it takes. It takes that kind of a mindset and that kind of commitment. And I actually give a speech on commitment, and really it's just commitment. It's like, you know, you're committed 100% all out to make it happen.
Do you see that I know traditionally it's probably been true, but I don't know now if it is, that entrepreneurs tend to be risk takers and tend to be male, thus testosterone fueled, although you feature a woman multimillionaire on your website. So do you see this as a gender issue?
No, and you know what? Actually, the numbers for the first time in the last 3 or 4 or 5 years, women started businesses are outpacing male started businesses almost 2 to 1. I mean, the women,
really?
Yeah, the women's empowerment movement is strong and alive and going great. And they're the ones starting the businesses and doing the home-based businesses, virtual assisting, outsourcing, all kinds of stuff. But yeah, when you look at all the stats that are provided by the different corporations and the corporations started that kind of stuff, women are really, really jumping into the game big. It's awesome.
And Greg, I know you gave the Home Shopping Network as an example. There's been other companies that you've helped bring success to. Can you share a few more of them?
Well, a couple of them. One, like everybody's been to the airports, right? And the smart carts, you know, the little carts you put your dollar bill or $2 bills in, depending what airport you're at, and you get the cart to carry your luggage. We raised them their original capital. And they originally came to us, and this is again where you have to course correct, right? Their whole business model was for shopping carts at grocery stores, because those shopping carts get stolen or lost or taken a block or 2 blocks away. And those things are like $100 a cart or something. And so they had a little mechanism where it was a reverse of what you see at the airports, where if you put your shopping cart back in to the little receptor, it kicked out a quarter. So you'd get a quarter, and then the kids would also come to the parking lots, and they'd put them all away nice and neat, and they'd get those quarters out. Well, that is still, they still do that in some grocery places, but then that kind of morphed into the use of those at the airports. That was cool. And another really cool story I had was way back when we had VCRs, and VCRs were so cool, this guy came in my office, and he had two of them in a cardboard box soldered together in some fashion. He goes, I've invented and filed patents on the world's first dual-deck VCR, where you could put a VCR in one side, put a blank VCR on the other side, and hit record and copy, and it would copy your VCR over to the new tape. And we raised them a lot of their original seed capital to get going, then took them public, and the stock went from 10 cents to $22 at one point.
Wow.
So it was an awesome success story. And again, of course, now who cares? It's like we don't use VCRs anymore.
No, that's some of the things. It's the flash in the pan, but at least if you made your money while it was hot, it was worth the effort.
Yeah.
Can you explain to our listeners what an angel fund investor is?
Yes. Yeah,
so, and not your company per se, but angel funding is used in the industry.
Right. Yeah. So there's, I refer to people as like you have professional investors and then you have maybe unprofessional high net worth investors. So when we talk about angel investors, we're talking about a professional investor that's a high net worth individual. And somewhere back in the late 1800s, this is where this term was originated, I think, in England, where, you know, some entrepreneur got some money from an investor and said, oh, you're an angel. Thank you so much. You're an angel. And that kind of stuck and it proliferated from there. So we're referred to as angel investors because angel investors typically are the ones that invest first. We're the first ones in. We take the most amount of risk and we literally will invest in everything from a napkin deal to something that's going a little bit more than a napkin deal. But you know, that's why we're the term angel investors. Angel investors typically invest somewhere between $25,000 to maybe $100,000 in an investment, and sometimes upwards of $500,000. And a lot of times what we do is we syndicate and we invest together. So that's what the network's all about. So let's say you came to me and you needed $500,000. And I say, well, I like the deal. I've done my due diligence. I'll put in 50. Well, now we need 10 more people to put in 50, or we need another 20 people to put in 25 to 50. And then we syndicate the deal to get all of your money together. And we just help facilitate that process. And for us, it's a way to look at deals, right? So we're all, just like on Shark Tank TV show, you go through hundreds of deals before you invest in one. And that's pretty much the problem with it. It's a very competitive market space out there. There's lots of money in the market, but you got to think, angel investors look at, like there's this one angel investor I know in Silicon Valley. Her firm looks at like 4,000 deals a month. She has a whole staff
wow.
and team of people that look at deals, and they only invest in like two or three. So it's very competitive. So we teach people, okay, are you even viable project for an angel investor? If not, where else can you go get money? So I help coach people on where they can find the investors, how to find them, where to get them, and how not to waste your time. Because a lot of times it's like, you're going to waste your time going talking to angel investors.
And you're not in the Silicon Valley. Is that a conscious decision that you made or something based on where you were raised or where you wanted to raise your family?
No, I was actually raised in Denver in Colorado. And then we visited San Diego all the time. And so when it was time for a change, I'm like, we got to go to San Diego. I love Southern California. I love the weather here. I love the beach. I love the fact that we still have mountains and that kind of stuff. So I just ended up in San Diego as a personal preference of what I want to do.
And does that distance you from the Silicon Valley mentality?
Well, the Silicon Valley is definitely a hotbed for high tech and definitely high tech startups and the venture capital world, or some refer to it as the vulture capital world. but it doesn't keep us from doing deals and getting stuff done. We're the internet and all that kind of stuff. So it's no big deal.
Exactly. Yeah. I just didn't know. I know that there is a little bit of the click mentality there.
Yes.
I'm a Southern California too, but I've got sibs that are in there and they're like, oh no, I got to be here. This is where I have to be. And it's like, okay, whatever. Greg, how are folks going to be able to reach you?
Well, we have a website, angelnetwork.com, just like it sounds, angelnetwork.com. And we're getting ready to do a reamp on the website and we're going to change it over from a newsletter subscription site to a real basically a magazine type site with all kinds of content, but angelnetwork.com. And from there, you can get our newsletter. What we do is we publish a monthly newsletter and we charge $47 a month for it right now. And we send it out via the mail and snail mail. So you get snail mail and email version of it. And then it also is tied into a website that's like a membership site. And in the membership site, I have interviews like you're doing here with investors, with lawyers, with intellectual property attorneys. And we give you access to all this content that can help educate you on what you need to do to be a successful entrepreneur and or a successful investor.
And anything else you'd like to add, Greg?
No, I guess what I would want to add is that I just want to raise my hand and yell at people from the top of the rooftops going, we need more entrepreneurship. We need to teach entrepreneurship. And I really am thankful to you to give me a little bit of a platform here because I personally think that our corporate, our capital formation here in the United States is broken. Crowdfunding is huge, it's hot, and it's helping fix the capital formation problem we have. But the fact that we don't teach our children and we don't teach our college students, you know, what capital formation is, what free enterprise is, what capitalism is, it's really getting the innovation side of our country to go down the wrong path. And so I love it when people like you give me a platform and help perpetuate this idea that you can start a company, you can get the investors, you can raise the capital. And now for the first time in history, it is so inexpensive to launch a company because, you know, you can build a website for practically nothing. You can market it on Facebook and Twitter and all the social media and online for practically nothing. And you can start generating sales and starting a business for almost nothing, right? Where I go back to even, I remember starting one of my first internet businesses in like the year 2000. And we had to spend upward almost $300,000 on servers, just on servers.
Wow.
Right?
Wow.
And so now, what cost me $300,000 in the year 2000 in servers, I can go to Amazon.com and I can pay $97 a month or maybe up to $300 a month, and I got exactly what I need and even better, more powerful technology. So it's just so easy to get into the marketplace and find out if something's going to happen. And then with crowdfunding to bring your friends in to help support you, it's just awesome. I just love it. So I just say to every entrepreneur out there, go for it, get educated, chase your dreams, make it happen, and life will be fun and full of excitement.
What a wonderful message, Greg. There's a reason that we were put together. I so appreciate your enthusiasm, your passion, your success, as well as your ability to translate that to make it understandable, comprehensive. That's really lovely. Thank you.
Very cool. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
You're so very welcome. And thank you for listening to the Maria Sanchez Show, hoping you're helping to make your day and our world a better place.
Talking, so call Maria. Her show is killer. You won't believe it, darling. There's long time listeners.